Welcome to Syntax. Today we've got our State of JS 2023 reaction episode. We do one of these every single year, and I realize it's quite a ways into 2024 already, but State of JS, which is a survey that goes out to sort of the JavaScript community and asks questions about JavaScript features, frameworks, libraries, resources, all that type of stuff, has just rolled out the latest results. And I really like these surveys because it sort of gives you a peer into our industry of what are people using, what do people like, what's sort of on the uptick, what's on the downtick, what are people actually using versus two knuckleheads talking about on a podcast every single week. So it's an exciting one. And we're going to dive on into it. My name is Wes. I'm a developer from Canada. With me as always is Scott. How are you doing today, Scott?
Hey, I'm doing good. Back in action over here. I had an ordeal getting home from Italy. Man, I was like, I had to sleep on the floor in an airport for. I was in an airport for. Well, I was in JFK for like 24 hours with my kids. They're 5 and 7, so they're not like little, but like they're little, and they slept on the floor in the airport with me. Just because Delta didn't want to cancel the flight because they didn't want to give people like hotel reimbursement. So they were just like, we'll tell you in 20 minutes. And it's like 2 a.m., whatever. And they're like, all right, it's postponed until tomorrow. Brutal. Tomorrow at 8:15 a.m., we get to the gate. Oh, the flight doesn't have a crew or a pilot. It's postponed again. You're just like, there was an actual literal fight. The police had to be called.
For you?
There was two airplanes that were like leaving at the same time, us and another one, and we both got on the planes. No. And we both had to deplane after being on the plane waiting for like an hour. So we had to deplane, and then the other flight was a bunch of people that were going to go on a cruise. And so they were going to miss their cruise. And so the people across the way from us that they were just like basically losing their minds, and it got heated. I don't necessarily know what happened, but it was a kerfuffle. Next thing you know, there's police protecting the Delta employees, who were awful, by the way. I never fly Delta, and man, I'm a Delta hater now. It sucks.
I felt kind of bad because I had previously said one of my Twitter tips was to mute the name of every airline. And then I went into the chat and saw that you had this massive ordeal, and I was like, oh, poor guy. Especially sucks. With kids, like I do not wish that on anyone. There's nothing more frustrating than being delayed, let alone with kids. Brutal.
Yeah, it was brutal, but I'm back. There you go. Jet-lagged, feeling good, awesome. Feeling ready. And you know what else is ready? Our code base, because it uses Sentry to track all of our errors and exceptions. That's right. We make sure that we can solve anything as it comes up. But not only that, we can fix our performance problems before they even become problems, because we get a user misery score to say like, well, this page is being hit by a lot of people and it's very slow. Therefore, this page has a lot of user misery. Let's tackle that. Let's dig in. Let's look for our slow queries. Maybe something's missing an index. Maybe something isn't being cached that could be cached. And Sentry makes it easy to solve and find all that stuff. So if you want all of this and more, head on over to sentry.io/syntax. Sign up and get 2 months for free.
Awesome. All right, let's get into it. Oh, let's real quick plug. We just got new t-shirts for Syntax. Scott and I are wearing one of them. I'm wearing the Sick Pick t-shirt. Scott is wearing the Blazing Fast. He just spilled his water everywhere. Blazing Fast, World Wide Web, Information Superhighway. We got a whole bunch of other ones as well. We got a Prettier collab one and a Drizzle collab one. They're pretty cool. Look at this.
Yeah.
We got hats coming too. I just ordered the hats. It's going to be very similar to this one, except what's that called? Five panel? Where it goes like right here. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's called the five panel. Mm-hmm. So it will be a little less clumpy right here, which this is a tester. So got some cool stuff coming down the pipe. Go to syntax.fm and click on swag in the top. You'll get to it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the 2023 State of JS survey. Let's kick it off with the front end framework stuff, because I always find this the most interesting. So front-end framework ratios over time. I think this is always interesting to see which front-end frameworks are people using. By far, the highest one is React, which has gone up from 81 to 84. These things are, we should say, they're obviously going to be biased based on the type of audience that answers them, as well as, like, we tell people to go, like, a couple of years ago, we told people to go and take the survey. So obviously there's going to be people that listen to this podcast that are answering this. So it's going to be pretty heavy in React's felt world, but nothing is ever perfect. No data is ever perfect, but React has gone up 3% and Vue has gone up as well, which is pretty interesting to see it uptick.
What's interesting here is that almost all of them have gone up. So Angular went down and has gone down year over year. Since 2018, it was at 56 and now it's at 45%. And Lit is kind of like staying stagnant, but the rest of them have all gone up, which is all pretty interesting to me. I don't know if it's just more people trying different things and that's it, because there's a lot of options. People are actually trying things now, but like, it's cool. And HTMX showing up here at a 5%. Man, it is really interesting to see how much some of the, like, Vue went up like 4%, Svelte went up 4%, Qt went up 3%. So interesting that most of them seem to go up.
Yeah, I wonder if that's because people are trying other things, you know? Yeah. Like, probably, I would expect React to go straight and the rest to go up, because people are saying, you know what? Maybe I should try something else out, but they almost all have gone up so much that, like, that data is not coming from anywhere else, right? Maybe those are people that are coming from Drupal or WordPress or something like that, because it goes all the way back to 2016, where at the time only 52% use React, Angular was 19, and Vue was 10, right? It's a very small percentage of people were even using a framework at that time, and now it seems like almost everybody is.
Yeah, and here's a little interesting tidbit, because you can view by usage, awareness, interest, retention, and positivity. And I wonder if positivity is maybe a potential precursor for usage in the future.
Because
if you look
at
positivity for React, it has gone down from 2020 81% to 71%. So positivity for React has gone down by a whole 10%. Meanwhile, positivity for Vue has basically kind of stayed the same the past couple of years, but gone down overall. Positivity for Svelte has gone up.
Yeah, I was going to say that. What's the only one that has gone up every single year?
Yeah, Svelte. It's pretty wild.
And HTMX.
And Lit. Lit has gone up too, although usage. Solid's gone up. You know, it seems like Solid is becoming one of those ones that's getting more and more awareness in general. I think people, React folks who come to Solid are going to find that it's a nice experience compared to maybe what they're dealing with React. But I always find the positivity one to be one of the most interesting aspects of this, just to gauge general sentiment around these things. Because if you look at positivity around Angular, usage goes down, but positivity is kind of remained flat for quite a while and even has like a small uptick. So I wonder like how this eventually translates to usage. Let's talk front-end framework pain points, because these are the things that I think people have issues with their front-end frameworks. And it's funny because, you know, how many of these are specifically to React or any of these things. And what I like about this is that they've broken them down. Let's say you have very React-specific issues. React-specific issues account for 17% of the respondents. So those would be excessive dominance. That's a wild pain point to say. React is too dominant. And I mean, I agree. I don't love working in React myself, and it's everywhere. So you can't avoid it, right? So you fall into this trap of, well, I got to use it, even if I don't like it. Slow progress, community concerns. Those are all a lack of signals, which is an interesting one. You can just use signals. I mean, you don't have to use, you know, React's baked in signals to use signals there. Excessive complexity. Choice overload. These are all things that we've been hearing all the time.
This is, you know, what's really cool about this is a lot of these questions this year have been freeform. And I'm not sure, we should maybe have Sasha on again, who runs this, and see if he's using like AI or something like that to sort of collect this data point.
Oh, yeah.
But instead of being like, what's your favorite framework? First checkbox, is it React? You know, now it's just freeform input. And you can click on the issues and actually read the respondents that people have said, and it's really cool. Excessive dominance. Let's see. Dominance of React. Predominance of React. React is everywhere, but is used in a standardized way. React touches everything. Everything's related to React. React sucks. Honestly, this is such good data because, like, people that are taking this thing care about web development, right? And this is not just like hot takes. This is like actually people that are saying this type of thing.
Yep. Yeah, it is a common sentiment. I think you get that from that 10% decrease in people liking using React. But also, like, we talk all the time about choice overload. To me, that the that being the number two problem is kind of a React problem in itself, because the React community, more so than Vue, more so than Svelte or Angular, makes less choices for you. And therefore, that right there increases the choice overload. It also increases the excessive complexity, because now you're wiring all these things together that might not be connected. Where with Vue, you have a very clear options of what you should be using for state management, for basically everything, right? And same with Svelte or Angular. They take care of a little bit more for you. And because of that, I would say that you have less choice overload and less excessive complexity there. And maybe that choice overload and excessive complexity are symptoms of the React ecosystem itself. But, you know, who knows? JavaScript overall has got like a billion different framework options.
I think so. If you click on over to state management and you just kind of peruse the actual answers, a lot of people are saying, obviously state management, but a lot of people are saying dealing with forms and state. And now we have that, right? In React. So I'm curious what this will look like once people start to give form actions a shot over the next year or so.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting stuff. And it does, I mean, all of these track with things that we've been hearing for so long in terms of, you know, people's fatigue about JavaScript frameworks and how they feel about them. So, you know, it's obvious that this stuff is a real problem, but it's interesting to see it being laid out like this. Let's talk about meta frameworks, unless you have more there.
That's exactly what I was going to go to. So major jump in Next.js. From 48% to 56% of respondents having usage. Let's go to interest. Yeah.
Or the positivity for Next.js goes from 75% to 64%, an 11% drop in positivity, while a jump in increase in usage and a decrease in retention as well. That's interesting.
Wow. So Next.js usage has gone up, but interest, retention, and positivity all have gone down.
Yeah.
So it's very similar to the React answers where everybody's using it, but a lot of the complaints are, I don't want to use it because it just has such dominance.
Yeah, it feels like people are being, you know, led to use it and then maybe not having a great time. You know, maybe that's it.
Yeah. What's got the most positivity uptick here? SvelteKit. Man, SvelteKit is killing it.
SvelteKit is killing it. Astro also, though. Astro goes since 2021, it goes from 20% to 54%. And I got to say, that tracks with my experience with Astro. I tend to really like it. I pick up SvelteKit just because it's like, it's the Svelte framework and that's what I use. But
yeah.
If I'm writing a React application today or a Vue application, maybe not a Vue, maybe Vue, I don't know. If I'm writing React application today, I'm picking Astro as my framework for sure.
You know what's interesting is that the Gatsby usage has sort of remained standard and it still has gone down over the years. Gatsby is wild. We've talked about this a couple times, but just the come up and the slide down in the Gatsby world has been wild. Jamstack, man.
Jamstack, yeah. You know what's funny about how that these comments about Jamstack relate is that, like, I've been doing more what you could call Jamstack now than I did even back when Gatsby was at its peak. I'm like, it could be the hipster in me, but I've moved fully into, like, all right, SSR my about pages and the SEO stuff, but CSR, everything else, keep my data clients out. Like, I'm going so hard in that direction. It's very funny now. It's just like, whatever everybody's talking about, I can't be doing it for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in 2 years from now, what are you going to be...
back in SSR, who knows?
Yeah, you're going to be talking about PHP was right.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. Yeah.
I'm kind of bummed to look at the other meta frameworks here to see some really good ones that really aren't getting enough love here. Like Quick, only 34 people have written it in. Like I'd expect Quick to have a bigger usage than that, right? And Redwood, only 14. Yeah. Adonis, 12. Adonis. You know, like
Meteor's higher than Adonis.
Yeah. Those things need a bit more love. So maybe we'll describe what they are. So Quick is a framework for building websites where it does resumability from the server to the client. And we had Misko on. You can go listen to that episode. It's syntax.fm/574. Just sort of understand what Quick is all about. Quick is really, really neat. And you can bring all of your React components to it. And same with like Redwood. We had Tom Preston Warner on from Redwood as well.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of times we say like, hey, why is there no Rails for JavaScript? And Redwood is that.
Yeah, it is funny how these things, it's weird because like, yeah, people are saying there's too many choices that need to be made. There's too much fatigue in that direction. But then the options that reduce that fatigue are like not present in the usage category. It's like, hey, these things are here. If you were to give them a look and give them a try, especially with things like Redwood or Adonis or some of these other ones, even Meteor does a lot for you. And I haven't kept up with Meteor that much, but it's still chugging along for sure.
Yeah. Do you think that's because people just want to be told what to use? Like the reason why Next.js usage went up, but the interest and positivity went down is because I want to use the thing that everybody's using. It's the most documentation, the most examples, the most integrations, right? Where like a lot of people would argue that Redwood, Adonis, a lot of these Quick, Solid, a lot of these things are better. They're way better. But like if that's why people are in like Rails and Laravel world are so happy because they're just told what to use and everybody uses the same thing.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because that conversation has been happening so frequently lately where JavaScript developers are trying Laravel and they're like, wow, this is actually great. And I think the reason why it's actually great is Laravel is great, but not because Laravel is anything special. It just makes all the choices for you. You, right? Like, it does so much for you that you don't have to do all the pain point stuff that was listed in the pain points. And if we go to the meta framework's pain points, the most respondents number one is Next.js issues is number one for pain points here, including the app router being a big thing, the caching, Next.js 13. I have heard a ton of things about the app router being a pain. I don't know much about the app router myself. I don't know what's different about it, but
yeah,
it
I'm
seems
a fan
like it
of
hasn't
it,
been.
But
a, yeah,
the pains are because people have written these massive applications on the pages router, and now they're like, oh, app router is the way to go. And obviously, they're still supporting the old way, and you can mix and match them. But it's a big thing to switch over, and it's like just another mental overhead shift of changing from one way to another.
Yeah, and so excessive complexity, number two. Number three is deployment. This, to me, honestly, feels like a Next.js issue as well, because I don't find many of these frameworks to be difficult to deploy. And not that Next.js is difficult to deploy, but if you want like the features, you're going to use it on Vercel, right? And if you try to deploy it elsewhere, yeah, then it's difficult to deploy. But that's interesting. So many respondents said deployment, given that anything that adopts the adapter pattern is super easy to deploy because you just install the given adapter and let it rip. But again, server-side rendering or just spit out a node app. Yeah.
I love that they published the results, like what people wrote in here, because you can say like, if we looked at this deployment, we can guess what people are thinking, but you can literally just read the results and probably every third one does mention Next.js and Vercel. Not because it's bad, maybe because it's too good, right? They're so tightly coupled together and it...
Deployment of Next.js. Many of Next features are locked behind vendor. Yeah.
Interesting.
And lock-in is number 13 on the pain point. Vercel is 9 on the pain point. And what's funny is that like Vercel makes everything really easy. The problem with that is that it makes everything really easy in a way that could potentially cost you a lot of money later on, or you're locked in now to using it and being on that as part of your platform, right? You're locked in to that being part of your platform. And not that that's a bad thing if everything is good, but it is something to be aware of. Mm-hmm. You don't have that flexibility and freedom that you get with just deploying a Node app anywhere. Because that used to be a really nice thing about Next.js. You could just deploy a Node app anywhere, and that was just the way to do it. Or do it on Vercella as just a straight-up Node app. Eh, I'm sure you can still do it as a straight-up Node app. But yeah. Interesting.
I think the thing is people want, you can still deploy Next.js as a Node application, and it runs really well, right?
Yeah.
But everybody wants, they want the CDN, they want the caching, yeah. They want the instant deployment, the Git previews without having to spin up a server. So we want
I'll tell
cake.
You where I've been hosting everything now is basically just Cloudflare. I've been hosting everything on Cloudflare. I find it to be dead simple.
It's so good.
Works every time.
I built a whole Next.js site, and I used all of the caching features. I used React Server components. I used like a good chunk of the Next.js features, and I used, it's called Next On Pages, which is like Cloudflare's adapter, I guess you could call it. And it worked really well. There was still some like, it's not Vercel level. It's not as like, oh, wow, this just works, you know, and all this nice integration, but it worked pretty good enough where I was like, yeah, I like this a lot. And I use the D3 SQLite database inside of it. So if I were to say, it's probably worth figuring out how to get it to run on Cloudflare as well, because it's, once it is working, it's really nice.
Yeah. I just got a bit into Cloudflare workers, and it's so funny. We'll talk about this in another episode, because I built a little font serving service to host our licensed fonts in a way that we didn't have to put them in the repo. And I did a bit of a testing here. It's like, where do we host these things? Do we throw them in a bucket? Do I throw it in a function, a pages function? Do I throw them in a worker? Like, what's the fastest way to do all these things? So we'll talk all about that. But hosting, man, it's a wild world right now. And I tend to just either throw it on Coolify or throw it in Cloudflare and call it a day.
Let's talk about build tools. Still coming in at the highest usage is Webpack at 90%. That, to me, is wild. I would have thought that everybody has moved over to Vite at this point. But
well, it's Next.js is really what it is. And if you go to the positivity, Webpack had a 89% positivity in 27, which is wild to me in the first place. But now it's like down in the 40%. So it's nearly dropped 40 percentage points in terms of positivity. I have not touched Webpack almost my entire career. It is like such a nice thing for me. I'll just say
yeah.
That. Yes.
Vite up to 73% usage. And then the positivity,
huge positivity
88%.
Gains.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. I have a prediction, Wes. My prediction is in the 2024 respondents, we will see a roll down on this list because I think people are going to actually start to get to use it in some regard at some point this year. Because I even saw Evan, you posted today that he had his first Vue app using roll down actually working.
I don't think I've heard of this. What is roll down? Obviously,
let me tell you.
Roll up alternative.
Roll down. So here's the gist on roll down. Basically, Vite, the thing everybody knows and loves, Vite uses two different build tools behind the scenes. It uses roll up for production builds, because roll up is very good at all sorts of things in production builds, and it uses ES build for all kinds of things as well. It's very fast, right? So it uses a combination of these two. And they said, like, all right, well, what would a next generation version of roll up look like that had the speed of ES build, but it was built from scratch in Rust? So roll down is an attempt to essentially have a next generation version of roll up built in Rust that's super fast and will eventually become the main build compiler for Vite. It will replace ESBuild and roll up within Vite.
Interesting.
The roadmap, super interesting if you want to give the roadmap a check, because it's moving quite along. And I think it's one of those projects that we're going to hear a lot about over the next, I don't know, next year or so. That's my big, big, bold prediction.
not all that interesting pain points here. Configuration obviously being the biggest one of
with Webpack High, all of them. Config is always going to be a thing. Yeah. Performance, also Webpack, man, because let me tell you, there is no performance issues with Vite. Excessive complexity, no issues with Vite in there for me. Webpack issues, number four. Yeah, if you're looking at this list for me, I'm trying not to be too much of a hater here, but like the top four are all Webpack issues, if you're asking me. ESM and CJS, definitely a big pain point for a lot of people, and definitely something that I don't know how it gets any better, to be honest. So, you know, I've moved fully over to ESM a long time ago, but you still have a one-off situation here and there, and it still can be a pain point, definitely.
Oh, yeah. It's I think a lot of people also don't realize that they are running CommonJS at the end of the day, because a lot of these build tools will still put out CommonJS. And the biggest pain point is for library authors who still need to publish these types of things so that everyone can use it. It's such a pain. Let's move into JavaScript runtimes. This is kind of interesting. Where does the JavaScript actually run? 94% of respondents are using Node.js and 83% are using the browser. So that's wild to me that more people are running server JavaScript than browser JavaScript.
That's a weird. Why? I don't know if that doesn't feel like
why
accurate
would that
information.
Make sense?
Yeah. I know.
That's crazy to me, but
maybe people just aren't thinking about,
like the browser is a runtime.
Yeah.
22% on Bun.
Wow.
Versus Dino on 15. I think, like, I don't know anybody that's running Bun in production. Do you know anyone?
That's a great question.
I have several small apps running in Dino, which is at 15%, but Bun certainly has lots and lots of hype in the last year, which is probably has to show for that.
Yeah, service there's workers, a lot of little 20%. Things I like about Bun, but I ultimately can't find myself really committing to the things that make Bun. Like, the things that make Bun unique are all excellent, but I find myself having a really hard time saying, like, going all in on that, and I'm, you know, foregoing anything of the, you know, being able to move back to Node or even to Dino.
So 17,000 people said Node.js, 48 wrote in Cloudflare workers. So that's a write-in. It's obviously lower, but do you think people who write Cloudflare workers think that they're writing Cloudflare code? Because in my head, I just think that I'm running, I don't know, JavaScript code.
JavaScript, yeah.
Right? I wouldn't call it Node.
I would assume a lot of people who might even answer this might not even have like a firm understanding of their runtimes and what they're...
Yeah.
Oh, we're using the same dang cup. We got our big cups here.
Man, we are just like... just got it all right now.
God. We showed up to this recording wearing the same t-shirt and I had to change. So,
I had like a modal dialogue open, so it like was covering Scott's face, and I just saw the same t-shirt and we were like pointed the same way, and I thought... Something happened with my video where it duplicated, but it was just Scott.
Great.
Edge and serverless runtimes, 33% on Lambda, 24% on Vercel Edge. Oh, here we go. 16% on Cloudflare workers. So I guess people think, maybe that's more of a serverless runtime than a JavaScript runtime. I don't know if that's... But I'm actually surprised by this, is that Cloudflare Workers is almost the same as Netlify at 11%, Azure Functions 9%, DigitalOcean Functions. That's something I have not tried out yet, is DigitalOcean's implementation of functions just yet.
Yeah. DigitalOcean is a platform I think about for VPS. They're like a whole app platform thing I have not really dove into at all.
Yeah. I tried it once when I was trying to deploy my server, and I realized, like, I gotta pay twice because I had a back end and a front end, and I was like, VPS is kind of better because you can run as many apps as you want on that.
Yeah,
it obviously doesn't come with all the niceties like the auto build and cut over and staging URLs, all that nice stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about back end frameworks, which is interesting because Express is still king, 73%
killing
response,
it.
Which is wild to me. I get there's a lot of people who have built on Express.
I'm still on Express, and I'll tell you what.
Wow.
I'll tell you why I'm not off of Express. First,
tell me.
The server is often, everything is built around that. And is, I think it's very hard to move that type of thing away, especially because, for me at least, a lot of my middleware, a lot of my auth and all of that, it's all based on Connect, which is the request, the response. You have that next middleware. And moving off of that is kind of tricky, especially because a lot of the other features, HanoJS is probably the closest thing to it. They don't implement that as well. However, now that we have the async local storage API, I've been moving all of my middleware of sticking data on the request. I've been moving it to async local storage, which allows you to share data between function calls. So if you have a middleware function that runs, and then later on you have another middleware function that runs, you can put everything in a store and just access it without having to pass it in. And that has been really, really nice. So that's my one reason. The other reason is people are not mad at Express. You know, people don't have Express pain. I think that the pain I'm starting to feel is that it's not a standardized web request. It's not a request. It's an Express request.
I want to move everything.
It's not though. Like my website's fast as hell. You know, like, yeah, you can look at the graphs and see that there's 20 million requests. You can do 1,000 times more in other ones. But I don't think people that have apps in Express see that or actually run into it, right? Like, our websites are fast as hell, you know, and I've got caching in place and things like that. The only reason why I want to move off of Express now is because a lot of the new stuff, using a fetch request, send a fetch request from the client to the server. Oh, now I gotta, like, if it was just a web request, I would have the request from the client would be the same as the server. And now I gotta convert it to the Express version, you know, and that's a bit of a pain.
Yeah, it's interesting to see Nest at number two here. I always figured Nest was a little bit more niche, but it does a little bit more for you. It's definitely one of those ones that the Angular folks are all definitely on. So that tracks, because Angular has a lot of usage. Fastify at number three, nice to see. I've always loved working in Fastify. Strappy, Koa, Happy. These are none of the ones that I feel like these got to be like a little bit legacy, because you don't hear that much about them these days, but they have been existing for a long time. Meteor. Yeah, it's interesting to still see things like we talked about, maybe perhaps like Redwood or Sales or some of these being so much lower, or even, you know, the much hyped up Eliza JS is super low on this, which it goes to show you that, like, Twitter hype ain't everything.
No, I would expect Hano and Eliza to be much higher. And I'm also surprised to see, I think Strappy, Directus, Redwood are the only three keystones on here.
Mm-hmm.
The only three like CMSs, you know? The rest of them are just like server frameworks. Oh, Sales is on there too.
Yep, Sales.
Cool. All right, what do we got next? Non-JavaScript languages. Okay, don't look at this. I want you to guess. Okay. What are the top five non-JavaScript languages used by people in the survey?
The top five. Do I have to guess them in order?
No, just if you will try, but I won't
dock you. Top five non-JavaScript languages. All right. Python, a lot of AI.
Number one, 44%.
Yeah, baby.
I'm surprised. That's very high.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff written in Python. Yeah. You know, you'd probably have to say PHP, obviously.
Yeah. Number two, 31%.
I feel like Ruby has to be here still.
Man, Ruby number 10.
You gotta be kidding me. Really?
Number 10, 9%. But I think that shows more of Ruby being its own ecosystem.
Yeah, I agree.
Versus
instead of JavaScript.
People not actually using Ruby. Because I think Ruby is below Kotlin and Bash.
Yeah, what?
You know? Okay. There's no
chance.
That's not usage.
That's just usage in the JavaScript world. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so I got two of them. I have no idea. C sharp. We just talked about C sharp.
Yeah, C sharp number four. Actually, I had dinner with Bruno from Century, and he does all the C sharp stuff. And he's like, C sharp is way cooler than you think. Yeah. And I said, but do I have to get a Windows laptop to use it? And he goes, no, you know, like that's what people think of C sharp. Like you got to like use this light theme Windows XP Dell Latitude to use it. And obviously it's not. So maybe I think we should do like a show on that or have somebody on. I think it'd be kind of cool. I know you and CJ were talking about it as well.
CJ was schooling me a bit. All right, I feel like I should know these last ones, but
number three, Java.
What's the Java? That makes sense.
Number five, Bash. That doesn't make sense. Okay. Bash is higher than Go and Rust.
Yeah, Go and Rust are still a little niche, but I am surprised to see that at least Go isn't higher than Bash, although I do write a fair amount of Bash.
I guess if you think of it as like, these are languages of people who write JavaScript, probably who are very heavy JavaScript, what are the other languages that they will reach for? And Go, Bash, Rust, those are things that you reach for when you need tooling in that area.
Yeah, interesting.
Hosting service, number one hosting service, 47% is AWS. Vercel, very close behind at 45%. GitHub Pages, number three.
Okay. I've never hosted anything on GitHub Pages, so I don't understand this one, but yeah.
I do, but it has to be, unless you're using their like weird Ruby static site builder, you have to have like a build step that outputs
just HTML. Like
HTML. Yeah. I use it for all my conference talks. Like the Syntax Live.
Yeah.
Those run on GitHub Pages, but it's just it's HTML, right? Netlify number four, Heroku Heroku is still number five at 25%.
Man, it just goes to show you if you can get enough market share, you'll be cruising forever. Because I can't imagine deploying on Heroku today.
Honestly, that's why all these companies give you cheap and free hosting for a couple of years. Hooked. And then like once you're there, same thing with like GoDaddy, you know, I have a Bluehost thing that I pay like $120 a year for. And I don't even have any of my own websites on it. I've got my wife's site on it. And my dad has like eight different sites on it. And I still pay for it every single year, you know? Like, that's why Bluehost had such a high. I remember they were giving people $100 if you signed somebody up for Bluehost.
They were giving me $100 if I signed people up for Bluehost. Yes, yes.
It's wild. And the reason is because once you got stuff on there, man, it's just not worth moving it.
For real. Hey, you know, it's wild to see that Heroku is ahead of Cloudflare and DigitalOcean.
It's not
surprising to see it ahead of, like, some of the smaller guys like, you know, fly.io or Render or Railway or one of those. But Hetzner is starting to get up here. Now, Hetzner, the big challenge with Hetzner is even getting an account on there. I was like, their security is so intense. I had to like send a DM and give them the blood of my firstborn child to get an account on there. But I do have a server on Hetzner now, and it's really nice. So I'm a big fan of Hetzner because I have an ARM-based server on there, and it's super slick for really cheap. Yeah,
that's great. What else is on here? Azure, Google Cloud, 1918. I think those are a little bit more like corporate. I think, you know, I think a lot more people host on those than we think, but generally that's like the infrastructure team running those, and they're not taking JavaScript surveys.
Yeah.
Usage, TypeScript, JavaScript, Balance, 32%, 100% TypeScript. 80%
this is
TypeScript
skewed way more to TypeScript than I was expecting.
Yeah. I remember last year we were surprised at it. Every single year it goes. And like, if you were to look at like 8 and 9, the top two ones, they're so much bigger than the rest of the respondents here. So it's almost at a point where I would say like most people are using TypeScript,
which is, it's wild to think, you know, I mean, given that when we started this show, it wasn't a thing. And then like a few years into the show, we were like, which one's going to win out? Is it going to be Flow, TypeScript, or Reason? And at that point, it wasn't even clear. And now it's like TypeScript is so ubiquitous. I don't start a project without TypeScript these days.
Yeah.
And I haven't for a while. And honestly, I don't necessarily get the grumbling about it. To me, it's like TypeScript is a fancy linter that helps me out when I need it. That's pretty nice.
9% of respondents don't use TypeScript, like 100% JavaScript. So
yeah,
that's good. I'm very, very impressed. JavaScript usage, 98% doing front-end dev. That doesn't track with the JavaScript runtime ones we had earlier.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
67% back-end, 27% mobile, 20% desktop app. That's really cool. We're having the 2B folks on, which they build a app for all the TVs. Like if you have a Samsung or LG or whatever, if you want an app to run on all these TVs, they're all built in JavaScript. And I am very excited about that. Yeah.
I met one of the Tory guys at JS Nation. We should have him on the show.
Oh, awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
We were talking quite a bit about the challenges and some of the cool stuff they're doing over there with desktop apps. So, you know, I like building desktop apps using JavaScript because you can lock into specific features. You know, if you're shipping on a web view, you know exactly which features are there. Browser compatibility goes out the window. You don't have to worry about it as much. Did you look at the missing features in JavaScript? What would you say the number one missing feature in JavaScript is?
Oh, I didn't look at it yet. Okay. Number one missing feature, I'm going to say types.
Yes, I was going to say, about the conversation we just had about TypeScript being so ubiquitous.
I was going to say it, but I was like, I don't know. But yeah, built-in types to
57% of respondents said types. Number two, standard library. Three, better date management. Hey, that's coming. That one's going to be solved, folks.
I feel
40%
like
of you. You can use the polyfill today. It's great.
I feel like the standard lib and the date management have gotten so much better in the last three or four years. So I'd be curious to see this versus previous years, or we'll take a look at it next year to see, because, man, standard lib, the Lodash usage, we didn't go over this one, but Lodash usage is still, date functions and Lodash is still huge, huge, huge.
Crazy.
And not that you shouldn't use those, they're great libraries and we use them as well on things, but I find myself reaching for them less and less. Not because I don't like them, because I don't need them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need them is really what it comes down to. What's wild to me about this is that for all the hype around Signals, it's only 26 people responded saying Signals. Only 26 individuals responded saying Signals when there's like serious talk about adding it to the language. So that's crazy to me. I want Signals. Pattern matching is really high up in here too. Pattern matching is great. We've seen pattern matching being really nice in Rust. A lot of people have noticed that. So I think pattern matching would be cool. Observables, pipe operators are in here.
Immutable data structures, 26% want them. The pipe operator I want all the time.
I want it all the time,
sometimes you're doing like a map filter reduce and you have this beautiful chain and then you want to like stick that in a variable, or I do this a lot in the JavaScript console in the browser where I want to copy the output, and there's a function in the dev tools called copy, and you can just wrap it in a copy and it will throw it in your clipboard. But in bash you can simply pipe to pb copy and it will throw it in your clipboard, and I often think I don't want to wrap this whole thing in a copy. I want a pipe to copy. And I would love to have the pipe operator. I wonder where that's at.
Bro, I'm just looking at this, and the proposal pipeline operator feels like pretty stagnant. You know, I have no idea what the conversations around this are, but like the official changes thread was last updated August 2022. Yeah. What's up with this? I think we should get somebody who knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, you can often go through the TC39 meeting notes to see.
Yeah.
So it's at stage two, which is just in draft mode. So maybe sometimes these go away for a while because they say they go through the stages where they say, okay, you know what? This is a good idea to add to the language. Now let's go off and draft the spec. And that's what takes the longest, is what does this look like? What happens in this case? What are all the test cases? So maybe it's in a spot right now where it is being drafted up.
Yeah. It just feels like most of the comments or anything on there are like from 2021, 2022. It, you know, I know a lot of the stuff happens offline, so or off of these GitHub issues. So it'd be really interesting to see what is actually going on. If you're someone out there and you know the status of what's going on, leave a comment or hit us up on Twitter or whatever. I'm very interested to know what the status of this is.
Industry sector. I find this interesting. Like what industries are people working in, right? 46% in programming and technical tools. Does that mean that half of the people that take this thing are just building more JavaScript for the JavaScript people?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of interesting.
Programming and technical tools. And then 33% consulting and services. That makes sense, right? You build apps for clients. 27% e-commerce and retail. That's something I think we don't talk about enough, is like how big e-com is in this industry, right? It's giant. 17% finance, 16% education, 16% marketing, sales, and analytics tools. I would have thought that would be a bit higher. I think people who work on apps put themselves in that first one, you know? Like if you work for a company that builds an app for insurance, you know, quotes, you know, where would you put yourself in there?
Insurance.
Probably technical tools. Oh, is there insurance on here?
No, I don't know.
Oh, there is. There is. 49%. Okay.
Which insurance is big, remember? We met Christy
Christy from, where does she work again?
The Limu one.
But yeah, they had something like 3,000 developers that were deploying serverless functions every single day. It's a big world, insurance.
It's a big world. I know. Yeah. For real.
Healthcare, media, government, social media, cybersecurity, 4%. So most people working on, I think it's safe to say that most people are either building apps for people or working on applications for customers or building an e-com website.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, that's really interesting. I love this survey every single year. Again, it gives us a good indicator. You know, we can all get ourselves into little bubbles, and it's easy to like be in your Twitter bubble where everybody is suggesting that this thing is the second coming or something and it's incredible and whatever.
Yeah.
And then you look on here and it has 10 respondents saying they use it. So it's important definitely to get your mind in a recalibrated way with these kind of surveys, and also be cognizant of the fact that, hey, the survey is a result of the people who responded to the survey, not a result of every single person in our industry overall.
Can we finish up with the awards real quick?
Let's do that.
We both get to guess. The most adopted technology awarded to the technology with the largest year-over-year progression.
Vite.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Vite last year, too, wasn't it?
It's got to be Vite, yeah.
Most adopted technology. I'm going to say Bun. Vite, you got it. Highest retention awarded to the technology with the highest percentage of returning users.
Vite. Just riding Vite on this thing.
I'm going to say Next.js. Vite.
This is doing me good. 2 for 2.
Runners up. So 98% of developers are using Vite again. Number two, 96% is Vite test. Or Vite test? Wow. How do you Vite say test. That?
Vite test. Yeah.
And number three, Playwright, 95% are using it again. That must feel good to have people love your tech so much. Highest interest awarded to technology, developers are most interested in learning once they are aware of it.
That's a tough one for me. This is a tough one because, you know, so many of these little things, they deal in small numbers, even if it is.
Yeah, and hyped. It's like often small little like feature.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Bun.
You're going to say Bun. I'm going to say Solid.
V-test.
V-test. Really? V-test.
Most write-ins awarded to the item with the most write-in answers. Okay, so this one can't be V.
It's gonna be Vite. The most write in answers. Oof. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Hano.
I'm going to say quick.
Mm.
Bun. That's fun for all of them.
The one time you didn't say bun. Oh, okay.
Astro, runner up, and yeah. Ember, 81.
Ember. Wow. Ember still unexpected.
Yeah. Well, I think that's almost a bummer that it's not even an option choose anymore.
Yeah.
Most commented library, or awarded to the library which received the most comments. Next.js for sure.
React or Next.js, yeah.
React. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And
I'm
most
good at this.
Loved library, awarded to technology Veet. With the highest proportion of positive opinions. Veet is Veet. It's all Veet.
Yes. Wow.
Jest and React, number 2 and 3.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And that last one was Next.js was number 2 and Storybook number 3.
Sick.
People loving it. Awesome. Well, that was super fun. I really enjoyed that. Let's move into some sick picks.
Oh, wait. Before we do, number 1 on the podcast, once again, guys. Syntax.
Oh, yes. Woohoo.
Yeah. So shout out to everybody. Who wrote Syntax in here or at this. Thank you so much for that. That's it's incredible every single year to see us be at the top here. So it's shocking. So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate everybody who does that. Yeah, there's so much more stuff on here. A lot we didn't even go into. So check it out. 2023.stateofjs.com. They run State of CSS, State of HTML. The HTML one this year was super interesting because you think like, HTML, like, what, you got a new tag, you know? But HTML has so many new, interesting features coming up. And big fan. All right, what do you got for a sick pick today?
Oh, sick pick. Hey, I feel like I have a lot of sick picks because there's some of them that I wanted to share or wait until you were back because I felt like you would specifically appreciate them. One of the cool things that I got was a digital, I don't know if digital is the right word, a rechargeable lighter. So, you know, you have those like gas lighters you click and you light a fireplace or something like that. I got one that is a USB-C chargeable lighter, and it just has a little electricity burst between, like a little taser between two posts. And they're like $15 or something. They're super cheap, charges with USB-C. You can light your fire pit or your fireplace, if you got one. You can light birthday candles, anything. And you never have to worry about it running out of gas or collecting those around or any of that stuff. So there's a ton of them on Amazon or whatever. I'll link to the one that I got. But man, I've been using this thing all the time. It's one of those like little cheapo gadgets you can get that you can just have around the house and never have to worry about having an actual like flame-based lighter around ever again.
Oh, that's awesome. I, many, many years ago, I was just looking back at episode 214, I sick picked a torch lighter, which is, I think it's meant for lighting cigars. Mm. It doesn't run, it's not electrical, but it runs on butane, which you got to refill it every couple months. But my wife loves it because she lights a lot of candles and it's just like, it feels really nice. It's like aluminum. And you don't have to like fuss around with the click, 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 click. Like it always works. It has a really nice strong to light it up. And even lighting the barbecue, it's been such a nice thing. We've had it for probably 4 or 5 years. And every time we use it, we're like, this is so good.
You might like one of these things too. I when I said it was $10, I was wrong. It's actually $5.99. And it's a little like, it's long, so you don't have to be near it when you're lighting it. And
okay. Oh, yeah, I see that.
It kind of rules, yeah. So maybe a nice little candle lighter for you, and then you have to deal with flames when you're starting your flame.
Yeah. So, well, you got flames anyways.
I don't.
I think this would be really nice at the cottage because it like will always work, right? Especially when it's windy. You know, like you don't have to worry about the wind blowing it out. That's always super annoying with those crappy little barbecue lighters. I'm going to sick pick a toy that I stole from my kids. And that is, you might have seen me playing with it. It's called a monkey noodle. And if you fidget at your desk, like I do, it's nice to have a quiet toy rather than something. Sometimes I'm playing with stuff here at my desk and I'm thinking, I'm sorry, Randy, like you probably hear me dropping something on my desk and it hurts the audio, right? And my kids have all these like little, you know, those like poppets and what are those called? Like sensory toys.
You push them in. Yeah.
And they have these like monkey noodles, which is just a little silicone booger. And I love just playing with it and just tying it and moving it around. I've been playing with it this whole episode. So if you need some sort of something to do with your hands while you're working, check out, grab a monkey noodle.
Yeah, it's not surprising that you would like that. And in fact, somebody left a comment on one of our videos when I was with CJ here in the past couple of episodes. And they're like, since the move to video, it's become increasingly obvious that Scott has ADHD. Because I'm just like, moved around a whole episode. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the video. Another thing is I had a chipped tooth for, like probably like 8 years. And I never really got it fixed. And then whenever I see a TikTok, I'm like, oh, I should probably get my chipped tooth fixed. And somebody commented, Wes, did you chip your tooth? And I was like, yeah, like 8 years ago. And I'm getting it fixed next week. And I just got it fixed this morning. So
what?
That's crazy. Yeah, dentists are wild. Yeah, they can just add a whole bunch of tooth stuff on.
You got a tooth. I chipped mine on a pita chip.
Oh yeah. Which one? Like a front one?
Yeah, one of the front two ones. I chipped out one of Stacy's giant pita chip that was apparently like a piece of concrete.
Oh man. And so did they have to like build it up?
And then, yeah. Yeah. It was right on the edge too. Yeah. I know.
That sucks.
It's wild.
Cool. Shameless plugs. Check us out at the swag store. Go to century.shop or go to syntax.fm and click on swag in the top corner. We've got all kinds of really cool stuff. We've got these new t-shirts. There's 4 new t-shirts that are going to be up there. We got a couple skate decks left. We got a couple basketballs. We got the can koozies on there. We are all out of Yetis, which we realized we were selling the Yetis for cheaper than you can buy a Yeti in the store. So they're all gone. but we have some can koozies and whatnot. And we've got some really, I almost just said what we ordered, but we have some really cool stuff coming down the pipe as well. So check it on out, grab some stuff before it's all gone.
Sick.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.